Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, as we get past the bye weekend for the Packers, a little bit of interesting house cleaning issue, you might say, with the team over the bye week. Mike McCarthy told reporters on Monday that rather than review all of the scheme and the games and the game tape like you normally would on a bye week when it's towards the middle of the season, with just three games under their belts, the Packers, the coaches, decided to put together an individual evaluation of each player so that they would have some notes and some video and everything to present to the players when they came back from the break. And it seems like it went over pretty well. The players, appreciated, you know, that extensive level of feedback, which is not something that you normally have time to do in the week-to-week rigor of the NFL.
Yeah, Mike, because you look at it, the Packers traditionally, in a normal year in which they've had like a week 8, week 9, week 10 bye week, that's been an opportunity for them to really do a lot of self-scout. You saw them make some very significant changes the last few years, 2014 being the biggest one when Clay Matthews moved the inside linebacker.
Right.
Well, with only three games to work off of, you really don't have as plentiful of a sample size to work with. So this was probably the next best thing in terms of you've gotten a lot of film on a lot of young players and veterans too, obviously. This is something that wasn't just structured towards the rookies. So, yeah, why not? Have the position coach sit down with them, show them some of the film, bring up some of the things that, you know, maybe they want him to work on now going into week 5 and beyond. And as I asked Morgan Burnett about this, and he said, you know, it's not anything that's completely unusual. It's discussions that they frequently have throughout the course of a season during their film study. But it is something that being able to actually just sit down and discuss a few pointers to kind of refresh things, getting ready to get back on the field, certainly something that can't help.
Well, the part that is interesting, I guess speculation a little bit on my part, I'm curious what maybe the coaches found out as they were going through this, because you wonder if after they put together these evaluations on all their players, if they start looking at it going, oh, maybe this guy should be getting more snaps. He's playing better than we thought he was. Or, you know, so there could be some benefits. And I'm curious to see when the Packers retake the field on Sunday night against the Giants, if from a personnel standpoint, whether it be at wide receiver, where the Packers have obviously lots of options, or defensive line, where they're constantly rotating players, if we see some changes in the snap counts and the way the snaps are shared because of maybe some things that came out of these individual evaluations.
Definitely. I mean, one of the things I think people forget a lot of times with 2014, it wasn't immediately, but it was shortly after the bye week that Sam Barrington became a part of that defense. And up until that point, he really hadn't played much at all. And then suddenly was more of a factor in terms of being an every down player for them. So there's certainly always those kind of adjustments that you can make. I'm very interested, you know, specifically at some of the younger positions, like you look at the defensive line, where they've been using a lot of different personnel, a lot of different packages to kind of get through this first month with LaTroy Guyon's knee injury, Dayton Jones going down for a game, and then obviously with not having Mike Pinnell, you know, maybe some of that study and how that plays out and maybe that how that affects certain guys and how they use them. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to assess, and certainly when you have a team that's as young as this year's Packers squad is, any opportunity to really step back and take a big picture approach to things certainly can go a long way to figuring out what the identity is of this team on, you know, in all three phases.
Yeah, well, and I'm curious to see when the Packers take the field for this matchup with the Giants. We've talked about how the Packers are doing so well against the run, and the Giants are coming into this game banged up at running back and didn't really seem to try to establish much of a running game against Minnesota on Monday Night Football. I think the question is, do the Giants come in and feel like, okay, they need to force the issue and really try to run the ball, or do they say, well, that Packers defensive front isn't going to let us run it anyway, so we put the ball in Eli Manning's hands and see what happens?
Yeah, and I thought, you know, Packers digital scout Mike Spofford had a really good pointer this week, saying, because you obviously got a chance to really digest that game, what the Giants were trying to do in terms of getting the ball quickly out of Manning's hands, maybe not letting some of their receivers develop the deep routes that you know, that are their strengths.
Yeah.
So what approach do they take now against a front that does have a really sufficient and substantial pass rush, but also has done an exemplary job of stopping the run this year? That's a tough matchup. And certainly when you look at the Packers and where they've been strong and maybe where they've been surprising this year, it's really been in that front seven, in those trenches where they've dominated in a lot of these games. Now, the Packers are looking to put everything together with their secondary. Meanwhile, the Giants are looking to get things established again in their own way after having their share of struggles against the Vikings.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's a lot to talk about with this Giants passing game and those wide receivers, and we'll get to more of that after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, you touched on it just before we went to that last break. The Packers in the secondary, we've talked about how they've given up too many big plays. They know that. They know that that's what they need to clean up. So they're looking to kind of get things back on track in that respect. The New York Giants, with this receiving core, Sterling Shepard, Victor Cruz, Odell Beckham Jr., Demarius Randle referred to them as a three-headed monster the other day, and certainly their production stands out, but they're looking for a bounce-back sort of game as well after not producing anywhere close to the level they're accustomed to against the Minnesota Vikings. So sort of two groups that have gotten a lot of attention: Giants receivers, Packers defensive backs, two groups that have gotten a lot of attention and are taking the field, Lambeau Field, Sunday night, I think, with little something to prove.
Yeah, I think both sides are definitely going to be hungry to turn around their fortunes a little bit. The Giants are interesting in that they have had some really, you know, top-flight performances so far. I think Victor Cruz has come back and shown what he can do when he is healthy, which has been an issue for him the last few seasons, but has sort of been that unexpected surprise a little bit. I mean, everybody was just expecting it to be Sterling Shepard and OBJ, and then suddenly he becomes a factor again. But yet, there's still been the inconsistency, as we discussed on yesterday's show briefly. I mean, now the questions with Beckham about, you know, where his satisfaction right now and you know, maybe some of the issues that he's having in the offense. Shepard looks like they have a nice prospect, you know, on one of the opposite sides.
Yeah.
But that wasn't a fact, that they didn't become the factor that I think the Giants need them to be in that game against the Vikings. I mean, especially now with these injuries and with Vereen going down, they have to rely on their receivers. And Larry Donnell now going through the concussion protocol after his injury in Minnesota. So this is a big question mark for them. And then for the Packers, trying to weather the storm with Sam Shields. Looks like, you know, maybe Morgan Burnett could be back this week. That could be a big plus.
Yep.
But certainly a big challenge if the Giants are able to get themselves straightened out with the passing game.
Yeah, and this is one, when you look at the big picture from the Giants' perspective, this is one that's really a challenging game, not just because of the opponent in the Packers and all of that, but this is the third consecutive road game for the Giants, the fourth road game for them in the first 5 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
They've only played one home game. They started out 2-0. Now they've lost two in a row. They're looking to avoid the three-game losing streak before they can get back home to more of the friendly confines. And I don't know, do you see the Giants as, you know, borderline desperate? Desperate's not the right word in week five, but this is a big game for them.
Well, and we talk a lot about the Packers right now and with the Vikings in the NFC North, the importance of that game for Detroit last weekend in terms of trying to keep pace with those two. The Giants are in the same boat right now in their own division. With, you look at Washington, who's the defending champion, coming back and trying to show that they aren't a fluke. Dallas is off to a decent start with Prescott leading them and without Dez Bryant. And then Philadelphia has been the Cinderella story of the league so far. So that suddenly has become a division where you don't want to lose pace. I mean, you got to, it's probably, if this continues, it's going to take 11 wins to probably win that division suddenly, when, you know, it's really only taken 9 or 10 the last few years. So that's the big key for the Giants. We're going to talk about this later, but I mean, with how they improved their defense this year, though I believe it was the league's last-ranked defense a year ago, adding a lot of weapons on that side of the ball, the offense wasn't the question coming into this year. They felt like they had a pretty good basis with promoting Ben McAdoo to that position. So they got to find themselves, and certainly this is going to be another challenge going back on the road on 6 days. it's going to be a big challenge for Ben McAdoo and his guys.
Yeah, that that 6-day turnaround, back-to-back road games in prime time, and they have the 6-day turnaround while the Packers are coming off the week off. Now, we always know that, you know, when you get a week off, sometimes it can be refreshing, sometimes it can lead to a little bit of rust and whatnot, but it is a four-quarter game, and the fact that the Packers had a home game, then they had the break, and now they're getting to stay at home for these next three games. I think, I anticipate anyway, the Packers really gearing up and recognizing how crucial a stretch this is for their season with three consecutive home games here in a span of 17 days, right, with the Sunday, Thursday Chicago to finish this home stretch. This is where the Packers absolutely have to keep pace with Minnesota, because if you fall behind by two or three games in the standings at this early stage, that's going to be way too big of a hill to climb.
Definitely, and you look right now at November and how that stacks up with the three consecutive road games and the Packers having to play some prime time back-to-back. Now you have this opportunity at home. I mean, you pointed this out from the day that the schedule was released. I mean, this is a critical stage for them, being able to really get themselves into a rhythm, in addition to trying to, you know, get as many wins as possible on your own home turf. And there was that stat, I believe, in this week's dope sheet about the fact that I think it's 2010 is the last time the Packers have lost at home in the month of October.
Wow.
It's just, it's been something where they've really been able to hit their stride here a lot of times. And this is going to be something where I think you look at the Packers, the way that they're structured, the way that they're built, it was a really good foundation and really a good building block, being able to have that performance that they did against the Lions. But they got to come back off this bye and show that they can keep their foot to the pedal against the Giants, because as good and satisfactory as that performance was on both sides of the ball, considering what you're dealing with defensively with injuries, you need to be able to establish that momentum, because it's going to keep coming, and there's some pretty good football teams that are going to be strolling into Lambeau Field over these next couple weeks.
Yeah, well, the Giants are going to try to, you know, perhaps open things up with these wide receivers, but they've got some defensive difference makers as well. That was the focus of their offseason, and we'll talk about that when we come back after the break, back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, that Giants defense, they spent a lot of money in the offseason in free agency to fix some things, to fill some holes. The one guy, more than any other, that jumped out at me watching the Monday night game, the Giants against the Vikings, was defensive end Olivier Vernon, a big money free agent that they picked up from Miami. He was a real terror out there on the field. Minnesota definitely had a hard time with him, and this is going to be a key matchup in this game, a big test for David Bakhtiari, who has certainly handled every challenge that's come his way, and this arguably maybe his biggest challenge so far in 2016.
No question, and I just step back for 1 second. I mean, obviously when Tom Coughlin made the decision to retire, the decisions that they made moving forward with the Giants showed you that they felt the structure was in place with their personnel, with their coaching staff. Ben McAdoo moving to the offensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo staying on as the defensive coordinator, even though they had the worst-ranked defense in 2015. They needed to improve their talent. That was their issue. That was what they felt was going to be the biggest key to this season. Vernon sort of pops up out of nowhere after Miami takes off the transition tag, and suddenly you had a prime pass rusher, 25 years old, just suddenly a street free agent. The Giants jump on him, and he has been off to a nice start so far this year, 6'2", 275 pounds. I think this will be a big challenge for David Bakhtiari. Now, what's interesting about Vernon, there's a lot of big bodies on that defensive front. It's a traditional 4-3 defense for the Giants, but he is a little bit more of a tweener in terms of that isn't the maybe prototypical kind of pass rusher that you would expect coming off the edge. He's not really maybe the physical freak that JPP is.
Right.
So this is the interesting thing, I think, with him, is that he just gets it done. And he was ultra productive with the Miami Dolphins. And I think now, with this opportunity to go to New York, he's really showing that, you know, this is an opportunity for him to shine.
Yeah. And Bakhtiari certainly had his share of snaps against Vernon 2 years ago when the Packers were down in Miami. So it's not as though this will be a completely foreign opponent for Bakhtiari. But that combination up front, you talk about, you know, the difference makers that you can have on a defensive line and in a pass rush. Jason Pierre-Paul, we all know what he can do when he kind of gets his motor going and is playing like the JPP of old. And then you add Vernon to that mix, and this is maybe not as formidable across the board a defensive front as the Giants had when they won those couple of Super Bowls within the last decade, but this is a group that can get after the quarterback.
Yeah, I think this is still a group that's sort of trying to find themselves in terms of, you know, where their pressure points are, who are the guys that they're going to. I mean, the front four is where they make their money. I think Damon Harrison is one of the top nose tackles in this league. Now, you don't find a whole lot of guys 350 pounds that have the foot speed and things that he can do in the trenches, and makes it really difficult on opposing run offenses. So that's obviously where they're trying to make their money. That's where they've invested their resources and need to produce. But even, you know, Janoris Jenkins now coming into that secondary had sort of an up and down run with the St. Louis Rams.
Right.
Really, you know, he had some good moments and some bad moments, but, you know, they felt like he could be a guy for them. As you mentioned in our pre-production meeting, they're dealing with a lot of issues with their cornerbacks right now on the injury front.
Yeah.
So Jenkins has been someone they've definitely relied upon a lot in these first couple weeks.
Yeah, and we'll see how those injuries shake out, excuse me, on a short week for the Giants. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, he did suit up for the Monday night game in Minnesota, but didn't play, at least as far as I could tell. Eli Apple, rookie first-round draft pick, was injured and did not play. On a short week, you just don't know if those guys will be back or not. And the Vikings took advantage of that. I mean, the clinching touchdown in the second half there was a big play from Sam Bradford to Charles Johnson down the left sideline, and remind me of his name, the cornerback who was filling in there.
Oh, with Trevon Wade.
Yeah, Wade. Yeah. Bradford went after Wade in a big situation there, got about a 40-yard play, and he was a guy. He's down the depth chart. He struggled, and the Packers are going to see that on film. And if the Giants don't get healthy at the cornerback position, the Packers are going to try to take advantage.
You know, that's one of the things, too, I really noticed from our insider inbox this past week, because I know a lot of people, as we discussed yesterday, talked about Demaryius Randle and some of the young guys for the Packers. I just think there's this overlining assumption, it's not just in Green Bay, but any fan base in the NFL, that you're just going to have, you know, 5-4 you know, Darrell Revis's at a time on the field, and the opposing team will not be able to pass on you. It's a passing league.
Yeah.
And those guys are going to have their opportunities, and they're also going to have the times in which they're going to get burnt. And that's something that I think the young secondary, when they were stressed as much as they did, happened in Minnesota. And, you know, even Green Bay, you know, when you go back to the Sam Bradford game, the issues that they had there as well.
Yep.
That's a really structured offense. They're very disciplined in what the Vikings do, and it's one of those things that I think the Giants are going to learn from it. I've mentioned numerous times I think the Packers will learn from it, but the big thing is not letting those things happen, you know, being able to make sure that they keep it going.
Yeah, for sure. Well, before we throw it to a break, we'll take care of some sponsor business here. At home or in the stands, we all know that Green Bay fans give it their all, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious Chunky Chicken Broccoli Cheese. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment. Let's touch on something quickly that came up in our insider inbox on the website. And that was a go-for-two decision by Baltimore head coach John Harbaugh this past weekend against the Raiders. And we talked in the preseason about, you know, whether teams are going to go for two more often. We haven't really seen that as far as the regular season goes. This one, from a strategic standpoint, Baltimore scores a touchdown. They're down 14-12 with about 2.5 minutes left in the third quarter. And Harbaugh decides to go for two to try to tie the game. They don't get it. And then a back-and-forth fourth quarter, a bunch of touchdowns, actually 29 total points scored in the fourth quarter, more than in the first three quarters combined. The Ravens end up losing by 1 point, 28-27. So 2.5 minutes left in the third quarter. Was it the right call? Was it too early to go for two? Where do you fall in that camp?
Well, hindsight being 2020, yeah, it obviously was the wrong call. but no, I've always, and we've talked about this on the show before, I'm more of a conservative person. I go by that whole, I think it was what, underneath 8 minutes of the fourth quarter?
Yeah, see, I'm more of a about 10 minutes guy. Okay. Like 8 minutes to me is almost too long to wait. But I think late in the third quarter, that's probably a little early, though. I can see the temptation in a 14-12 game through three quarters, or almost through three quarters, low scoring game. The right. temptation is to tie that thing up because you don't know if you're going to get another shot.
No, but I think you also got to have confidence that your defense is going to get you the ball back, and you know you're going to be able to find ways to pull ahead. Now, if they go for and they just go for the extra point and it doesn't work out, then we're all sitting here and you know they end up scoring yeah. and they end up getting beat by six or whatever. I mean, those yeah. are all things that could potentially happen. But at the end of the day, I've always felt like that third quarter, there's just so much football left.
Yeah, and, a lot of time left.
You know, this isn't Madden. You don't, it's not, you only have like, you know, 5 minutes left at that point. It's interesting. And it's the reason that these head coaches get paid what they do. I mean, this is, yep. it's decisions they have to make. They're difficult. And certainly, I don't know what John Harbaugh said about it afterwards, but it's something that people are certainly going to second guess.
Yeah, the thing that I always look at in those situations when there's that much time on the clock is what happens if the other team scores a touchdown
right.
and you don't get the two, and that's exactly what happened.
Right.
They didn't get the two, so it's 14-12. The Raiders got a touchdown, so they were up 9. So it's a two-score game where right. if you're only down 8, it's still a one-score game. So well, I'm sure we'll have plenty more of these to talk about as the season goes along, but that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, on Twitter, at Wes Hodd, at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.